Praise the Lord. Amen. You may be seated if you can. If you have your Bibles for a few moments today, Joshua chapter 4. Joshua chapter 4. And then we'll read 1 through 7 and then jump over and start at 15 and read a little bit. The title of the message, as you saw, was Memory Stones. Joshua chapter 4, 1 through 7. And it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take you 12 men out of the people and out of every tribe of man, and command ye them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and you shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel out of every tribe of man. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder according to the number of tribes of the children of Israel. That this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, That the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel for you. In verse 15, And the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Command the priests to bear the ark of the testimony that came out of Jordan. Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, Come ye up out of Jordan, and it came to pass, when the priests that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord were come up out of the midst of Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up unto the dry land, that the waters of Jordan returned to their place and flowed over all the banks as they did before. And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, When your children shall ask their fathers in time come, saying, What mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you, until you were passed over as the Lord your God did the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord that is mighty, that you might fear the Lord your God forever. In this chapter of Joshua, we rediscover the God who has offered us promises for the future. You know, the promises don't happen immediately. Sometimes they just don't happen overnight. We rediscover the God who sustains us in this present world and who understands our tendencies, and we do have these tendencies to lose touch with the things that really matter because of our preoccupation with the demands of this present world. And I know there is demands of this world. And he, for the children of Israel, he told them to create memorials as a reminder that help you and I keep our focus on the things that are important. And this chapter dramatically reveals the importance of remembering. You never remember what God done for you. You know what's going to happen? You're going to forget what God's done for you. You got to keep those memories alive. You got to, and I don't care how you do it. I know a lot of people write things in their Bible. Got saved this day. Holy Ghost this day. God healed me this day. God moved for me. I don't care if you want to go out back and build little rock stones all over the place. God did this. I don't care what you do, but to however you want to remember, we got to remember. Because if we don't remember, those thoughts, the devil will begin to steal them little by little by little. And so this chapter dramatically reveals the importance of remembering. Israel finally passed over Jordan, and the priest had this time kept the Ark of the Covenant lifted high so all the people passing over could see it. God held back the southward flow of the Jordan River, enabling the people to cross over just as they did at the Red Sea on dry ground. At that time, the Jordan River had flooded its banks. And there is a place for memorials. These stones were so the people would never forget this and that future generations would never forget. A lot of people that crossed over Jordan might have been very, very young and don't remember the Red Sea. So this is a reminder of what God did for them. These stones were to be an enduring sermon, not directed for the ears, but for the eyes. You know what? They tell people a lot of times, you can tell somebody to do something and they can't get it, but you show somebody to do something and it's a little bit easier. They were to stand as a reminder. And I want people to remember this. Don't ever, ever, ever let the enemy try to take those memories of what God has done for you in the past. We sing that song and it's a reminder. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Meaning that what he did for me last week, he can do for me today. If he'll do it for me today, then that doesn't give me any worry about what tomorrow is going to bring, because he's the God of the same today, yesterday, and forever. So they stood as a reminder, amen, to not only Israel at that time, but also future generations, that Israel crossed the Jordan, not because of their own ability, not because of their own strength, not because of their own cleverness, but because of the God they served. What a powerful message. Amen. So we have to expose ourselves to the reminder, to the memorial stones, whatever they may be in your life, that you may remember what God has done for you. Joshua said to the people at Gilgal in the last four verses, as we had read earlier, "Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until we were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were going over." Why? "That all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you might fear the Lord your God forever." Do you remember one spot in the Bible that the enemy had heard how Israel, under Joshua's command, took Jericho, and they was like, we're done. So we got to be reminded of these things. It's important that we don't make light of the places and the people of the experiences and the physical gestures the Bible gives, even the sacraments. Let's not take them lightly, but I also want you to remember that nothing lies in the power of those stones. Every first Sunday of the month, we take a little bit of juice and a little bit of wafer. Nothing lies in that power, the juice and the wafer. It's a symbolic thing. But the power lies in what it's telling you. The power lies, amen, in the risen Jesus Christ. And I know that it's so easy to get caught up in the things, and we forget the essence of our faith, becoming so preoccupied with our religious duties and our religious life, and we forget what it's all about. I've seen people get so busy in church work they forgot why they got busy for church work. We can go get so busy trying to get God to do what we want done that we lose sight of our responsibility to ask God what you want me to do. We're always wanting God to do this and that and not asking God, what do you want me to do for you? Amen. We need to understand we want God to be what we want, but are we asking God, what do you want me to be what you want? Our tendencies with religious faith, amen, is we don't use it. Amen. We know we got it, but we don't use it. And it's just like you go to a museum. And you walk into a museum and they got the sundial setting inside the museum. And as you look at the sundial in the museum, you look at it and you're thinking, they're not allowing this sundial to work. It shouldn't be covered with a roof. It shouldn't be covered with walls. The sundial should be setting outside, amen, so the sun can shine on it and it'll allow you to know the time of day. Amen. So we should not take our religious faith, amen, and not use it. Amen. We need to take this religious faith and let it do its job. And say in Jesus' name. And say, if God did it for me yesterday, oh, people, God can do it for me today. Amen. And I want to remind you of that. Amen. No matter what comes your way, I can go back to yesterday, or I can go back to last year, or I can go back to last month, and I can remember how God brought me through it. And if He is the same yesterday, amen, today, and forever, He's going to bring me through it today. Don't put your faith in the museum like they do the sundial. And they don't even allow it to do what it was made to do. So what do our personal stones mean, whatever they may be? What do we say to our people around us, the significance of these memorial stones? Somebody grabs your Bible and they see the dates. What do these dates mean? David said, well, a few things. Number one, I want to point out, remembering the wonderful works of God. Write in your Bible, great service. Put the date down. Just got out of an awesome prayer time with God. Put the date down. God promised me this. Put the date down. Because the devil's going to remind you how God's not moving for you. You go back and say, this is what God told me. David said in Psalm 77, 11 and 12, I will remember. Nobody else is going to do it for you. The devil's going to try to get you off track. But I will remember. I will. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonderful of old, thy wonders of old. And I will meditate also on all thy work and talk of thy doings. By yourself, begin to talk to yourself. I remember what God did. I remember how God moved for me. I'll be sitting at home laying in the recliner and listening to some music, and man, thoughts just come back of what God's done, how He's done it, and then the promises I've heard for this assembly. Devil will say, nothing's happened yet. Don't matter. It's God's timetable. In due season, the Bible tells me. I can't hurry God. I can't move God. I don't want to hurry God. I don't want to move God. Sometimes we want to put our 2 cents in with God. Doesn't need your 2 cents. He just needs your obedience, your trust. And so, talk of thy doings. If you have to tell yourself what God's done for you. Bad day? We've all had them. What do? You start telling yourself how blessed you are. And how great He is. How wonderful He is. Tell yourself. Speak it out loud. Tongue is what? There's power of life and death in the power of the tongue. Expose those words out loud. I serve a great God. I want to remember the things He's done. I want to remember where He's brought me. I want to remember how He's kept me. I want to remember how He's blessed me. I want to remember how He's moved for me. Speak them out loud. Because the enemy would want you to shut your mouth and not say a word. David continues as he remembers God's works or God's deeds, God's wonders. What that means, extraordinary acts, miracles, financial blessings, keeping us safe, protecting us. The distinction is probably between God's saving acts and more strongly His mighty direct intervention. I want to ask you this. A lot of us are private people. A lot of us don't want people in our business. A lot of people don't want people doing that. But I don't know about you, but I want God intervening in my life. This is what it means to be in God's right hand. Israel experiences His mighty works. For us now that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, and we talked about that in our Bible studies, we too dwell there and receive His saving works and His mighty interventions in our life. Our prayers are answered. You might not think so, but when you get down to pray and you say, God, protect me, you don't know what's coming down the road. God, put a hedge around my family. You don't know what's around the corner. Our prayers are answered. You might not think they are, but there, you know, there are battles fought in the upper world for you that you never see. I believe that. I believe you're praying for people who are lost. You don't know how many times they were that close to death. God intervened for your prayers, because of your prayers. His name, the authority over demons. In the name of Jesus, you don't know what power you wield. Yield in the name of Jesus. We have the power of attorney that we say all the time. Demons tremble at that name because of that authority. David continues as he wrote there in Psalms 12. I will do what? Meditate. I mean, you want to keep your mind busy? Meditate on the things of God. You keep your mind busy on the things of God, Brian, you know, there's nothing else can get in there. When you're busy at work, I know your mind's somewhere else, but it's in them times when you're relaxing that these thoughts start banging in your head. All of a sudden you begin to meditate on all thy works. And then that last part is so much more important. Talk of thy doings. God's done something for you. You need to be pushing your cart in a grocery store, and you need to stop the next person and say, hey, you know what God did for me this week? They might think you're nuts. That's all right. Susan said I wasn't feeling so good last week. I hovered over the pulpit and I wasn't in her face. I'm feeling a lot better this week. Not as tired. West Coast trips are rough. You see somebody, you say, hey, I want to tell you what God done for me last week. I'm a miracle. They might think you're crazy, but you're talking. You're talking. If you got to grab your dog and say, I want to tell you what God done for me this week. You're telling somebody and you're allowing those words to come out and take life. If you believe it, you'll say it. I'll meditate. I'll talk of his deeds. Our God works wonders. He intervenes directly and dramatically in our lives. I'm so glad for that. I allow that. His strength, his might is declared, made known, amen, to those around me. When you begin to tell these things, you are remembering these things, and you are making known these things, and people are understanding what a God you serve. He has a mighty arm. He has a strong arm. Amen. His hand is stronger than all. His name is higher than all. He has shown himself strong on my behalf. Amen. Not only in yesterday, amen, but today, and without a doubt in my mind, he's going to do it tomorrow. Well, glory to God. He desires you to remember what he's done for you. Because I said earlier, if you don't, you will end up forgetting. The devil will zap those thoughts and take those thoughts. You need to yammer every time you get a chance. Let me tell you what God has done for me. He desires that. And when you say that, you will have confidence to trust him. I'm telling you what, the next time you face a storm, and you don't know when it's going to be. It happens quick. Things come up on you fast. One moment everything's fine. The next moment, you're upside down. Everything's fine. The next moment, you're like, oh. Tries to distract you with, oh my gosh. Then all of a sudden, worry sets in. All of a sudden, panic sets in. He looks ways to cause you to think about your problems. And when you begin to do that, you begin to lose focus on your God's faithfulness. If you're going to see God do the impossible through you, you must first change your mindset. You got to continually take the time to remember the things God has done in the past. And as you remember how God has directed, how God has protected, how God has provided, amen, you can now do a new thing through you. He can do a new thing through you because you have complete trust in him. I will meditate also of all thy works and talk of thy doings. I hope we grasp that. I hope we believe that. The second thing is the importance of thanksgiving, even in difficult times. When was the last time you just said, thank you, Lord, in the midst of an impossible situation? Now ask yourself and think on that for a moment. Instead of laying there complaining about how bad it is, how many of us have just said, thank you, Lord? Because I can pick you up, take you into a place and let you walk around and you'll find thousands of people in worse shape than you are. So how many of us in impossible situations, and we have faced them. When's the last time you said, thank you, Lord? When I'm facing two or three impossible situations at the same time, we can get so preoccupied with them that I forget God's provisions. I forget what God can do. I forget what God's done in the past. How much better it is to sit down, slow down. You know, when you're slowing things down, I found out the older I get, I'm not in a hurry. You can ask everybody around me. I'm not in a hurry. I'm not in a hurry about anything anymore. Because where do I got to go? Where do I got to be? I'm not in a hurry. I go to work, 35. I'm driving 50, 55, and people are going, psh, 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 psh. Where you got to go? So, but when you slow things down, you see things better. You get a better view of what's going on around you. When you calm yourself down, you then begin to think more normal. You don't think like a crazy person. I become so preoccupied with everything around me, I forget God's provisions. How much better is it to sit down, slow down, and begin to lift a voice of praise, lift a voice of thanksgiving on how faithful my God is, how wonderful my God is, how blessed I am. By looking at these memories and remembering these memories, my heart lifts in this present problem, and it lifts to a thanksgiving. All of a sudden, I begin to get no longer complaining. All of a sudden, I find myself praising. I find myself honoring God and thanking God and lifting God up. And now I'm capable, amen, of walking through everything that I'm going through. Why? Amen. Because these difficulties become a secondary. God becomes the primary. And I begin to praise Him and worship Him. And so I'm telling you this, your memorial, amen, could just be, thank you, Lord. Well, thank you, Lord. I honor you, God, for what you have done. 1 Samuel 17, and when these words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. You're but a youth, and he's a man of war. Don't you just love how church people pump you up? This is the king. He's telling David, you can't do it. David could have bowed his head and said, you're right, and walked out the door. But listen to what David said. He said to Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took the lamb out of the flock. And goes on, David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. Listen to what he's telling the king. He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. The first thing out of David's mouth when Saul said you could not do it, David went back and remembered what God had done for him. The clue to David's confidence was shown in his interpretation of those battles when applied to the one he was about to enter. The reason David felt the Philistine would meet the same fate at his hands that the lion and the bear was because David was carrying the same God with him. Battles change in intensity. God doesn't. Battles change in intensity. Some are greater, some are smaller, some are longer, some are shorter. But the one thing that doesn't change is the source of my strength. The one thing that doesn't change is the God that I serve. And so David, the first thing out of his mouth was to remember. David's great confidence did not come from his ability, even from past experience, but remembering the past experience. What did David do? He didn't say, I slew the bull. He was saying, God. David's confidence with the battle was won in God. And we say it all the time, and you need to go home and circle this scripture. Jesus Christ yesterday, Hebrews 13:8, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same. Number three reminds us of what God has done for us and what he's done for others. That's why it's important to hear the testimonies. Somebody going through something, somebody pops up over here and says, blah, 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 blah. That person over there says, well, Lord have mercy. If God can get him through it, he can get me through it. A lot of us have a disease. You know what it's called? Nearsightedness. Too many of us are spiritually nearsightedness. I get so preoccupied with my problems that I don't listen to anything else. I don't see anything else. I don't hear anything else. And people around me are testifying. People around me are telling me. And we need to grab a hold of that. The God who reminds me of who he is and what he's done for others, he wants to do it for me. We minister in an air and a culture in which many are caught up in just coming out of the me attitude. You may come across those people, it's all about me. And when you take on somebody else's issue and you pray for their issue and you believe God for their issue, and even if God doesn't move for you right away and he moves for them, that still lets you know God can still move for me. He's no respecter of person. And we've got to understand that. You know, we are so caught up in that me-centeredness. So many books and so many lectures. And when you go to these, a lot of them are just, what do they call it? Self-motivators. They just get up there and rile you up. You pay so much money, Brian, they just pump you. You can do it, you can do it, you can do it, you can do it, you can do it. They're not giving you anything else but you, 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 you. It's all about you, it's all about you, it's all about you. What we need to do, if you want to pump somebody up, you can begin to pump them up by saying you can do all things through him which strengtheneth you. This is our problem today. How can I be happy? Nobody wants to be sad. Don't preach on hell. Don't preach on judgment. Don't preach on holiness. Don't preach on coming out. Don't preach on sin. That makes me sad when I leave the church. If you live right, it wouldn't. This is our chief problem on this earth. It's the whole reason for being here, amen, is I want to be happy and I want to be successful. It's all about me. Well, what about God? Where does he enter into this equation? We need to put our spectacles on. You know, when you're nearsighted or farsighted, all of a sudden you go, wow. I can see. And when we put the spiritual spectacle on, we can begin to see the whole picture of God wanting you to be concerned about the person in front of you and about the person behind you. And it's all right to turn around and look at the person behind you and say, I want to tell you what God did for me. And after you tell them what God did for you, you just encourage their faith. And they walk out the church door saying, well, if God can do it for Brother Jim, God can do it for me. God can do it for Brother Daniel. God can do it for me. If God can bring Brother Loudermilk through that surgery without an issue, God can do it for me. Sister Teresa just stood up and told her what everybody what God, if he can do it for her, he can do it for me. Instead of sitting there moping through service and pouting through service about how I don't feel good and how God's not doing this for me and how God's not doing that for me, all of a sudden somebody ought to whip around and say, hey, chin up! Get off the diet of lemons! Believe that God's able. Believe that God's God. Believe that he hasn't changed. Believe he can still do it. Amen. Remember how that reminds us of what God is and who God is and how what God can do. Jesus said in Matthew, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherein shall it be salted? It's good for nothing, but it is cast out to be trodden under the foot of men. Under the foot of men. What are you? You're the light of the world. A light does what? It gives light. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." Salt. In Roman days, was two things. It symbolized purity. It protected meat. And it was also used as salary. So, it was a very important thing. The process of using seawater and the sun to acquire salt, as I said, the Romans were often paid this. This is our basic word for salary. Jesus uses the symbol of salt to describe the disciple, emphasizes the call, emphasizes the influence. What do you want to be? Do you want to be a cancer? When you walk into the room, everybody scatters like a roach when the light turns on. Or when you walk into the room, everybody gravitates towards you. Not because you're funny, not because you're the life of the party, but because there's something different about you. Because there's a life in you that they don't have and they want. How many in here has had people come up to you and say, "You know, I don't go to church a whole lot, but will you pray for me?" You have that air about you. Not that you're puffed up, not that you're somebody special, but you're that light. Maybe in the office you have talked about what God's done for you. Jesus said in Luke, "Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its savor," is another scripture. "Well, how shall it be seasoned? It's neither fit for land nor for the dunghill, but men cast it out. Meat spoiled unless it was salted." So the kingdom members are a preserving element in society. Are you maybe people? You know, you walk into, and I've never been to a bar in my life, but you watch TV movies, you know what they set on the bar? Peanuts. They're complimentary. There's an underlying thing because of them peanuts sitting there. They're hoping you eat them peanuts, hoping you get thirsty. Next thing you're going to do is you're going to buy a drink. Are you making the people out in the world thirsty for the gospel of Jesus Christ? By your life, by the way you live, are you? I hope we are. You're the light of the world, are you? I hope we are. Hurry, and number four. We have the privilege of making provisions for future generations. God didn't put those stones there just for Joshua's generation. He knew that this generation would have children, and they would have children, and they would have children, and children, and so forth. And every time they would come by the Jordan River, God did want them to remember. "Mom, what's this?" "This is when your great-grandfather crossed the Jordan River." "How'd they get across?" "God parted it." "He what?" "He parted it." "Another generation." "What's these stones mean?" "This is when your great-grandfather crossed the Jordan River." "Well, how'd he get across?" "God parted." "He what?" "He parted it." So when we begin to teach our children the reminders and the memorials that we have, I don't know what you have as a reminder or a memorial. The Revelation says this, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death." We have the ability to, I don't know, people are hard, they're hardened. But Matt, we still have the ability to change people. The gospel has the ability to soften people's hearts. You don't have to hammer them. You don't have to jump in their face. But your attitude, Brian talked about in Sunday school, I believe your attitude determines your altitude in God. You don't have to, I know we go through things, but you can let people know, "Yeah, I'm going through this, but you know what? I serve a God that can. I'm facing this, but you know what? I serve a God through it can." And so we have the ability to change the world. Society has made us to believe that you're either in with the cool crowd or you're in with the dead crowd. What they say? Church people are what? Hypocrites. I believe it's a trick of the enemy to shame us into thinking that it's not cool to share the good news of Jesus Christ. The scriptures say they that overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, no matter what the world thinks, and the world in the day and hour we live in is so anti-Jesus. They're not anti-church, they're anti-Jesus. Oh, you can go to church. Find you the deadest one on the street that everybody in there. I told the story before. Guy in the front pew at a church had a heart attack, fell over, dead. They carted out half the church before they found the dead guy. Spiritually dead. Spiritually no life. It's the thing to do to go to church. Put on your Sunday best, grab your Bible, walk out, let the nail. He goes to church. What's going on in that church? Devil don't care if you go to church. The world don't care if you go to church. The world don't want you to get a hold of Jesus. The devil doesn't want you to get a hold of Jesus. Somebody may be in trouble, and because you got a hold of Jesus, you might be able to change their life. God has caused you to triumph. God has encouraged you. God has blessed you. Amen. God has showed you. Will I not turn around and show the world what God has done for you? Number five, memorials can be simple. They're not necessarily elaborate. You don't have to go out and build stones. You got memorials all over the place. Go to D.C. They're everywhere. They got the Vietnam Memorial. They got the Korean Memorial. They got the Lincoln Monument. They got the Roosevelt Memorial. And when you walk through there, it's reminding you of who these men are and what these men's done. Well, you don't have to erect any statues or anything like that. Your memorials can be just little. Like I said, writing notes in your Bible. Writing notes anywhere else. To remind you of what God has done. 1 Corinthians, and when he had given thanks, I want you to look at these things that he used and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood that you do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. We come up here once a month on a Sunday and we take, they're very small, very simple, juice and a piece of bread. And when we take the juice, it reminds us of the blood. We take the wafer, it reminds us of the broken body. They don't have to be large. You don't have to erect statues. He took frail elements, bread and juice, spoiled in a few days, the weakest things in the world, and he raised a monument, not of marble, not of bronze, but just the bread and juice to remind us of the promises of what the cross did. And number six, corporate unity is ours. I think corporate unity is important. And as we read there, it passed. And when they were clean passed over, the Lord spake to Joshua saying, take you 12 men out of the people of every tribe and command them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of the Jordan and out of the place where the priest's feet stood 12 stones, and you shall carry them over with you and lead them in the lodging place where you shall lodge that night. 12 men from 12 tribes. I want a stone representing each of the 12 tribes. There's something about unity that God loves. Joshua 4:1, as we read, and it came to pass, all the people were clean passed over. This is important when it says all the people. The emphasis here is that clearly on the concepts of the entry of the entire nation. Every representative, the sons of Reuben, Gad, you know, the half-tribe of Manasseh, whose families were already, amen, on the east bank. They were fully armed. They all of them. He wanted all of them. There's something about corporate unity. Amen. Wherever two, you don't have to have a big crowd, but it's wherever two or three are gathered. The Bible says in one mind and one accord. Unity creates strength. Galatians says, bear you one another's burdens. The Christian walk is not an island. It's a shared journey. Shared has in how? How are you doing? How's your week going? Some people I know not to tell that to, because after they tell you how their week going, you're like, eh. But if the Lord leads you to come up to somebody and says, how you doing? And they begin to tell you, listen, you know what the most powerful thing you can do for somebody and to just value them, brother, is to listen to them. You want to value somebody? Listen to them. You want to show you they got value? Listen. And when we listen to people, we're showing them that we care for them and we'll help them and we'll bear them. We'll bear their burdens. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer. Whether it's one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Somebody stands up and say, I want to tell you what God done for me. Woo! We all get excited. Romans says, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. So I don't know. I'm going to get ready to close here. I don't know what your memorials are. I don't know what your stones are. But I want to tell you what. If you don't remember, you'll forget. The devil will slowly and slowly slide those thoughts away from you. And by remembering what God has done, you believe that God can do. You remember what He's brought me through. And if you believe He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, if you believe God brought me through this, tomorrow's piece of cake. I can face tomorrow. What's the song say? Because He lives. So whatever your storm is, I don't know what it is. Whatever you're facing, I don't know, whatever promises God's give you, are you remembering what God's done for you? We got to remember, church. We got to put those memorials out there. Romans 6, for if you have been planted together in the likeness of death, we shall also be in the likeness of resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. Acts says, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is to come on you, and ye shall be what? Witnesses unto me, both in Judea and all Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and all the uttermost parts of the earth. Ask yourself that question. Am I remembering? Whatever your memorials are, keep them alive. Keep them active. Of course, if you know, my dad's been dead since 1983. And if I don't every so often go back and remember, you know, his memory begins to fade. He's been dead for so long, it's almost like he never existed. And the only way I can keep that existence somewhat true is to remember. I'll just sit down and think about some of the things in my childhood, some of the things we did. It keeps that memory alive. If we don't allow it, we'll forget it. So when things begin to choke you out, and it happens, life will choke you. And life will try to just destroy you. bad news, bad diagnosis, whatever it may be, and while you're right in the middle of it, Matt, my mind goes back. I'm going to tell you right now, I have never, ever, ever lost a battle. I've never lost a battle. I've never been defeated. I've never given in. Why? Not because of my own ability, but because of the God I serve. And I go back and remember those memorials. I go back and remember what God's done for me. And there comes a peace and a calm on me. And if my God can do it in yesterday, He can do it today. So whatever your storm is, whenever you're being choked out, whenever life's closing in on you, whenever the walls of life is getting this, whenever you don't know what to do or what to turn, you remember. You remember. You remember. You remember. You remember who God is.